Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Well, I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rose, the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
Good morning, 810 here on News Radio 92.3. Happy Friday. You made it to Friday. So did we. Julio Diaz, he is the host of Let's Go Pensacola, heard at 4 o'clock on Saturdays when there's not a football conflict and FSU conflict. And then also the host of the Pensacola Movie Club, which you can follow them on Facebook. They go watch movies and then talk about them. Julio, welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. So you guys watched what, Killers of the Flower Man last night, is that right?
Killers of the Flower Moon.
Flower Moon. Oh, excuse me. Thank you for correcting me.
Yeah. This is the new film by Martin Scorsese.
Oh,
so
right.
as you can imagine, it's the feel-good hit of 2023.
A light, airy celebration of life and happiness. Well done. Go on.
Yeah, it's not that at all. It is. I mean, it's Martin Scorsese. He doesn't make junk. It is a fantastic movie filled with great performances. It is really long. It's 3.5 hours long, and it is people going through absolute misery. It's one of those things where I definitely recommend people see it, and you're going to hear this one during the Oscars for sure. Especially there's a lot of buzz for Lily Gladstone in the, I don't know if they're going to run her as a lead actress or as a supporting actress, but she is the main female actor in the film. Just an amazing performance. But I don't know that I can ever watch this movie again because it's pretty relentless. Unfortunately based on things that actually happened in our world.
Oh, wow.
About,
okay.
You know, it's about the Osage Indians and how they were, you know, systematically robbed of their oil money and murdered, and you know, it's pretty rough. It's hard to get through, but great performances again. Lily Gladstone, Leonardo DiCaprio, Robert De Niro, all fantastic in this.
So not first date material, but a movie well worth making. So, which is, as you say, a lot of movies are hard to, but that doesn't make them, I mean, they're worthy in different ways, right? They're just not, not bubblegum or, you know, after dinner kind of stuff.
Yeah, and it is, like I said, it's 3.5 hours, so maybe don't get the giant soda when you go in.
Or save it until halfway through.
Yeah, go to the bathroom
Pace
before
yourself.
The movie, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, it is quite long.
There's another movie out that is a musical, and the first word in this is a word I don't love to say on the air, so I'm not going to, but it's about private investigators or, a nickname for a guy named Richard, the musical. What's this all about?
Yeah, it's not about private investigators. These guys are a couple of Richards.
a couple of Richards, I like that.
Yeah, so these two guys who are like all, you know, alpha male salesmen. They go out and they're the best salesmen in the world, and they work for Megan Thee Stallion as their boss. They discover that they are long lost twin brothers. And decide that they are going, you know, they basically had a parent trap situation where one of them went off with the mother and one of them went off with the father. And so they decide they're going to, you know, basically parent trap their parents into getting back together.
Okay.
Only problem with that is the parents are played by Megan Mullally and Nathan Lane.
Okay.
So you can imagine Nathan Lane, he's not interested in women.
Exactly. He's not interested in Megan Mullally, right?
Yeah. So wackiness ensues. This is really striving hard for like kind of a cult classic campy tone and getting pretty good reviews, running about 75% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Producers of Greatest Showman and Borat director. So, I mean, you can see where the elements are.
Yeah, and I loved the trailer for this, but it's not going to be everybody's cup of tea.
Most definitely not. Soulmates, another one that's out this week.
That's another one that I really kind of liked the trailer for. Imagine crossing Saw and Love Connection.
Stop.
That's kind of what we got going on here. These two people are put into this situation where they basically have to find their soulmate or die. So, you know, they have to go through all of these challenges to determine whether two of them could be sold.
You know what that is? That's 3 years from now, the plot of The Bachelor. I mean, I'm just saying that, you know, we're moving in that direction. It's Running Man coming true.
Yeah, the reviews on this, there aren't any. It wasn't screened for critics, unfortunately. But I did really like the trailer on this. And again, I like the high concept of it. I just think that's hilarious.
It sounds entertainingly satirical.
They also went the extra step of casting Neil McDonough in the host role. So he's like the Chuck Woolery.
Yeah.
And I just think he's perfect casting.
No, that does sound fantastic. We're almost out of time, but Butcher's Crossing?
Yeah, this is a Western starring Nicolas Cage as a grizzled buffalo pelt hunter. And, you know, getting good reviews for his performance more than anything else. And we seem to be going through a Nick Cage renaissance. People are remembering that, he made a lot of bad movies when he needed to pay his taxes, but he is actually a great actor.
He really is. And he has made a lot of great movies in addition to a lot of alsos. What are you guys going to watch next week?
Next week, we've got a couple things coming out. We've got Five Nights at Freddy's, the eagerly awaited adaptation of the horror video game.
Right.
So I'm interested to see what that looks like. But I think we're also going to get Priscilla, which is Sofia Coppola's film about Priscilla Presley and her relationship with Elvis. I don't know if it's not too soon for another Elvis movie right after Baz Luhrmann's, but it does look like it's really good, and Sofia Coppola usually does really interesting parts.
No, she does.
Good. So once we figure that out, it will be in the Facebook group, Pensacola Movie Club on Facebook.
So check them out, follow them, and attend if you can, and then let's go Pensacola tomorrow at 4 here on News Radio. Julio Diaz, my friend, thank you so much for the time. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks, Andrew.
8:16 on News Radio 92.3. The Transgressors Memorial Service comes up next. Jake has traffic on the fives.
I was going to try to boil this down a little bit, but I'm just going to go ahead and say all of it. The Orion Parker Boulevard crash on Navarre Parkway from earlier has been moved, so it's flowing clearly now. Flowing cleanly. I-10 eastbound just past West 9 Mile Road. We've got some slowdowns there. The flashing light at Cervantes and 17th. There's also a wreck at Michigan and Mobile Highway block. Where they try to get out of Planet Fitness and McDonald's, that parking lot there, so please watch out there. And we have a new roadblock at Marcus Point Boulevard and Enterprise Drive. If you have any traffic info to report, text 437-1620. This is News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Beach-a-ween is back today from 4 to 8. Bring the family out to the Pensacola Beach Boardwalk to enjoy a free night of fun. Bounce houses, games, face painting, food, and
a Cat Country Kids costume contest.
This freaky fun event is brought to you by Visit Pensacola, the Santa Rosa Island Authority, and the Pensacola Beach Chamber of Commerce.
Celebrate Beach-a-ween on the Pensacola Beach Boardwalk from 4 to 8 today. It's Beach-a-ween.
Trick or treat!
Remember when washing machines were made in America, were solidly built, and actually got your clothes clean? They aren't a thing of the past. They are Speed Queen, and they are available at Tops Appliance. Speed Queen washer and dryers combine durability and technology into the best washers and dryers in the world. Speed Queen will change the way you think about washing machines. They're built to last longer and deliver exceptional wash results. Unlike many other washers and dryers with plastic parts, Speed Queen uses commercial-grade steel and porcelain components designed to give you at least 25 years of reliable, trouble-free operation. That's why they come with lifetime warranties, the best warranties in the business. See store for warranty details. Speed Queen washers and dryers are built to work and built to last. If you want durability, innovation, and perfectly done laundry the first time, then you want Speed Queen. See these great Speed Queen washers and dryers for yourself at Tops Appliance on Highway 90 in Milton, just east of Stewart Street.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at George Stone Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service technicians, they hire students from George Stone Technical College. Have a boating question for Stephen? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them today at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, Pep Talk, mornings 9 till 11 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
The first remembrance this week is for Ben Shapiro and the Daily Wire for their ridiculous reactionary movie project, Snow White and the Evil Queen. In case you're not aware, our esteemed Ministry of Cultural Reeducation and Truthiness, still doing business as the Walt Disney Corporation until the name change officially goes through, is producing a live-action modernized remake of that misguided masterpiece of marginalization, Snow White and the Seven We Can't Say the Last Part Out Louds. Simply titled Snow White, this lovely tribute to inclusion will feature seven magical creatures of varying size, skin tone, and gender identity, and star a decidedly unwhite Latinx actress named Rachel Zegler. Rachel herself has said the new movie will abandon some of the unenlightened features of the original story, eliminating Prince Stalker, replacing Snow's dreams of true love with visions of female empowerment and leadership, and hopefully adding much-needed commentary on body positivity and the dangers of the magic Insta-mirror on the wall, always answering the doom-scrolling queen's insecure cry for help of who is the fairest of them all. This was all wonderful, until the Sith Lord himself, Ben Shapiro, decided to oppose this delightful film by making one in protest that reverts to the regressive elements of the original. That's right, Shapiro's status quoist Snow White will star a deliberately white female conservative YouTuber, Brett Cooper. It's almost as if he believes that a brown-skinned woman doesn't have every right to play a character named Snow White. Haven't you read the demographics reports, Ben? Brown is the new white. We can only assume Shapiro will also continue oppressing the alternately heighted by casting them and paying them for their acting, perpetuating the speciesist lie that killing a girl is wrong but killing a deer is fine, and pushing the standard patriarchal heteronormativity of the frail female seeking life fulfillment in the arms of a cisgender hunter-gatherer who values her for her shapely figure, ruby red lips, and homemaking skills. Well, it shouldn't surprise anyone that a shill for the establishment would do something like this, but we believe audiences will take the rejuvenating kiss of hope and change Disney rather than biting at the poisonous apple of fear and same Shapiro. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, Victoria's Secret, which is reportedly abandoning its commitment to inclusivity and body positivity by reverting to its longtime focus on sex, sexiness, and sexicity, after they're losing 18% annual revenue over the three-year time it decided to rebrand with an emphasis on diversity and the mediocre looks of ordinary women. Apparently, despite doing all the right things, such as hiring the iconically unisexual lesbian soccer star Megan Rapinoe, and an actually transgender woman to be official spokesthems, and then getting rid of all the lust-inspiring supermodel angels and canceling the annual Christmas lingerie flesh parade, American men and women just weren't into all that homely progress and plump positivity. According to industry analysts, heterosexual women don't shop at Victoria's Secret because they want to be their true authentic selves, but because they want to feel special and pretty and desirable like they know those impossibly thin sex bots on the runway are. I know. Shocking, right? Somehow or other, it turns out that no one cares about Megan Rapinoe's critique that the formerly profitable Victoria's Secret was selling a really harmful patriarchal and sexist message that defined sex appeal for women based on that silly goal of giving women more sex appeal to men. It turns out that women just like to feel pretty and keep their menfolk interested. The gall. But I guess this is just another case of the people being too dense to appreciate what the experts tell them to like, such as Oscar-winning movies that lose money at the box office. And Victoria's Secret has decided they don't like the limp results they've been getting on their bottom lines, and they're going back to what got them where they are in the hopes of seeing their underwired profits really lift and separate. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, can we all just take a moment to bask in the warm glow that is CBS's Gayle King? This leader in media, this intellectual giant, this champion of all that needs to be righted in the world, recently uttered one of the most brilliant assessments we've ever had the pleasure to hear.
You know, it's so sad to me now that the word wokeism has now almost become weaponized. It's really missing the point about what's being taught here. You know, I don't look at it as wokeism so much as truthism.
Truthism. What a powerful reframe. And she's exactly right. Awareness of oppression, the ability to identify and call out microaggressions, recognition of patriarchal systems, the gift of seeing racism in everything. showing that words are the enemies and that words can be the saviors if only we have the courage to constantly change them. These are all such basic truth-finding and truth-telling skills, and of course, what Gayle King reminds us is that our religion is not anything special or inspired or divine, it's merely the basic obvious truths of social critiquery, which anyone can learn with just 9 short years of publicly subsidized graduate school enlightenment. We all know the basic subjects like intersectionality, queer theory, gender studies, critical race theory, and ninth wave feminism are only difficult to learn because we must first unlearn the lies our culture has been teaching us for so long. The deprogramming takes time, yoga, and lots of patchouli oil. But kudos to you, Gayle King, for making us feel seen and expressing what we are now parchment certified to say out loud. Our holy order is not devoted to wokeism. Nay, dear Otherin, we are practitioners of mere truthism. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
After the service today, the Friends of Hamas Organizing Committee is having a short strategy session over by the Western Hemp Field. If you plan on attending the demonstration tomorrow at City Hall, you'll want to get caught up on the latest strategies for hiding your identity on social media, telling a lie while crying at the same time, and how to dress like an anti-Semite and still get on the nightly news. Refreshments this week are provided by The Brinery, an ironically salt-free hipster bistro whose performance art pita chips are as tasteless as the cruelty-free whole wheat germ flour they're made from. Wash them down with a warm glass of sugar-free flax broth made with reclaimed water infused with dandelion stalks. It's sure to make every hole in your body pucker with anticipation.
And now, brethren, sisterin, and otherin, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
826 News Radio 92.3. Join with me now as we all pucker in unison. Jake's got traffic on the fives.
It's been a puckered week for me.
But you're there. You're
I'm
the,
here.
You're
I'm
the
here.
Producer, sadly. You know, Candy, we had her on for most of the show, but she had to go home. She wasn't feeling so good. But yeah. We are genuinely so sad to see Candy, not be able to keep going because of some home stuff and her husband, and he's had some health issues and stuff. But we love her so much. I'm going to miss her so much. I had so many sweet texts from people celebrating her. I think my favorite one was, she's so much more than just the laughter. You know, she's kind and caring and generous and honest, and we love her. And anyway, but Jake, welcome aboard. You've been doing a fantastic job learning the ropes all this week. So tell them about traffic.
Thank you so much. And I'm still learning the area, folks. So, I know there's no I-10 southbound now. It's either east or west.
We all make mistakes.
Sorry about
all
that.
All of us.
Okay. So there was a wreck at Michigan and Mobile Highway blocking the parking lot where you get out of Planet Fitness and McDonald's. Also a roadblock at Marcus Point Boulevard and Enterprise Drive. And I'm seeing now that West Burgess and Palafox in both directions in that area is just completely stopped. So if you have any traffic info to report, text it on in to me at 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Well, the good news is at least there's speed bumps on Oakfield now. God, the stuff around West Florida is not going to get better anyway. Thanks so much for that. Hey, if you're thinking about buying or selling a home, or maybe, you know, for the first time, maybe what you're thinking about is like moving out of your parents, getting a house, getting married, getting a house, or, you know, just upgrading from being in a rental, whatever the case may be, or maybe looking at buying a home to rent to somebody else. Talk to Christina Leavenworth. I genuinely, like, if I could go back in time and when we were buying our first home, have had somebody like Christina to work with, man, what a blessing. Somebody who knows the process, will walk you through it, will answer your questions, even the dumb ones. Everybody asks dumb questions. That's okay. She knows, and she'll give you good answers for them, and then help you find just the right house for you and the right place for you with the right understanding of the market, just all of that stuff. And she's surrounded herself with other people who are equally capable, people who are, you know, like-minded and like-hearted, as I prefer to say. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty, 723-9158. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Well, Republican Congressman Jim Jordan this morning said he is planning to run for Speaker for a third time, although he hasn't said whether he expects to receive any more votes than he did the last two attempts.
We had a good conversation. We'll continue to do that. But as I point out, the fastest way to get to work for the American people is to elect a speaker so the House can be open and we can get things done.
And a third round of voting in that is expected here in the next hour or so.
12 more rounds to go, and then he's there.
That's right. Eventually it'll happen, right? The Rolling Stones were joined by Lady Gaga for a surprise concert in New York City last night, Andrew. They were playing at a Manhattan club called Racket. Apparently, the Stones have a new album out called Hackney Diamonds. And what good would this story be if I didn't play a little bit of a song from there? Yeah, they had about 500 people crammed into this club for a surprise concert last night, and I guess they were all enjoying the tunes off that new album.
There you go, David. Thanks so much for the update. 8:30 here on News Radio 92.3. One of the, you know, we've been talking all morning about this Perdido Incorporation, and just as a note, in case I don't say it very often, which is almost never, we do podcast full hours of the show and all of the interviews on our podcast page at newsradio923.com. So you can catch them up later there in case you missed them, or listen to extra that happens when you're not in the car driving.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. The Republicans' nominee for House Speaker Jim Jordan says it's time for the House to get back to work.
The quickest way to get all this working is to get a speaker elected. That's what I hope we can do today.
He's come up short in two votes for speaker so far, with 20 Republicans against him Tuesday, 22 Wednesday.
Picked up a few. We lost a few. I think the ones we lost can come back.
He says the plan is to hold more votes this weekend if necessary. One thing the House has to deal with is President Biden's security spending package request, including more money for Ukraine's fight against Russia and Israel's fight against Hamas terrorists.
We cannot and will not let terrorists like Hamas and tyrants like Putin win.
And there have been more Israeli airstrikes in Gaza ahead of an expected ground invasion.
Israeli society is very, very prepared for a long fight against this terrorist organization.
Israeli Defense Forces Lieutenant Colonel Peter Lerner on Fox. An Israeli town to the north is evacuated to protect against Hezbollah rockets fired from Lebanon. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 8:31. News Radio 92.3 at 70 degrees. Mostly clear skies right now in Pensacola. I'm David Wayne. A Pensacola man now in custody, charged with a deadly shooting that happened at the Days Inn on Lavelle Way over the summer. 28-year-old Devin Smith was arrested yesterday. He's charged with first-degree premeditated murder for the death of Jabbar Franklin. Investigators say Smith fatally shot Franklin inside the lobby of that hotel back in May. Deputies say Smith and Franklin had a beef that stemmed from a few years ago. He's now being held without bond at the Escambia County Jail. A proposal for the upcoming Florida legislative session could have some significant impacts on car body and repair shops. Senate Bill 194 would require that accident reports be filed before repairs could be done on a vehicle. Bob Colasanti, the owner of Colasanti's Classic Cars, wasn't in favor of that. Try that one more time. Bob Colasanti, the owner of Colasanti's Classic Cars.
Is malarkey. That's what it is. It's a waste of taxpayers' money. It could delay the whole process for our customers.
And that bill was written in response to a hit-and-run crash that killed a 13-year-old girl last year. Police say they were able to find the suspect after he took the car to a repair shop, but somebody there reported the damage before it was fixed. A Pensacola man will spend 25 years in prison for producing child pornography. 54-year-old Joseph Holbert previously entered a guilty plea to producing photos and videos of obscene child material. He was convicted of filming 8 and 9-year-old victims in the shower with a hidden camera this last February. The U.S. Attorney's Office says following his prison sentence, Holbert will be on lifetime supervised release and required to register as a sex offender. A group of fishermen may have broken the record for the largest blue marlin caught in Alabama state waters. Captain Chris Mawad weighed in with a 1,145.6-pound marlin in Mobile at the Mobile Big Game Fishing Club in Orange Beach this week. He says that fish was caught about 125 miles offshore, took several hours to reel in. The previous state record was just over 850 pounds. A Pensacola native preparing for his second UFC fight this weekend in Abu Dhabi.
Well, it means a lot because I'm the very first Pensacola, like Florida UFC active fighter besides Roy Jones in boxing. So it's kind of like a big thing to me. But the biggest thing to me is that I get to travel and I ain't never seen like different parts of the world. Like I only been like in a small town and just, you know, just didn't think I was going to make it here. Like I told my coaches, it's a blessing and hard work at the same time, but I love it.
and that is Cedriques Dumas. And he'll go to battle with Abu Azeitar this weekend in the preliminary fights for UFC 294. Dumas lost his first UFC fight last March after his opponent, Azeitar, backed out with short notice. He was then switched over to a fight with a different opponent. Dumas says he has, quote, no respect for Azeitar as a man because of that. The preliminary fights this weekend can be watched on ESPN+. Plus, the main card will be available as normal on pay-per-view. It's 8:35, and let's get a look at our traffic on the fives. Jake, what are you seeing?
All right, we've still got that wreck at Michigan and Mobile Highway blocking off the parking lot getting out of the McDonald's. Also, a roadblock at Marcus Point Boulevard and Enterprise Drive. We're looking at West Burgess and Palafox. In both directions, it's slow right there, so if you can avoid that area, please do. This traffic report is brought to you by Mothers Against Drunk Driving. For victims of drunk and drug driving, your grief is unique, but you are not alone. You always have a place at MAD. Call the 24-hour victim helpline at 877-MAD-HELP or visit MADD.org. If you have any traffic info to report, text 437-1620. This is News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
We are going to have a beautiful day today. Partly cloudy skies, 10% chance of a stray shower, 84 degrees for your high. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping into the 50s. For Saturday, beautiful conditions, plenty of sunshine, partly cloudy, high near 81. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 63. Mostly sunny skies through your Sunday as well, the high near 84 and a low near 61. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And right now it is 70 degrees in Pensacola, 68 in Gulf Breeze, and 70 in Milton. Your money now this morning. Our markets are falling, slightly at least, after the 10-year Treasury yield crossed 5% for the first time since 2007. Our Dow is down this morning, 2489 at 33,389.28. The S&P 500 down 716. 42.70.84. NASDAQ down 53.36. 13.186.18. Our 10-year bond rate down 4.93% this morning. Gold prices up $10, though, $1,990.50. Silver prices up slightly at $23.65. And Bitcoin up a lot this morning. Bitcoin up 871.91 at $29,616.94. Jelly Belly's been sold. The candy company has been sold to Chicago-based Ferrera Candy Company. They're best known for brands like Sweet Tarts and Laffy Taffy. Home sales have fallen to their lowest levels since the Great Recession.
With mortgage rates now up near 8%, the number of homes being sold is falling sharply. Redfin estimates 4.1 million existing homes will sell this year, the fewest since the housing bubble burst back in 2008. There are two issues. First-time homebuyers are struggling to find houses they can afford, while existing homeowners are reluctant to upgrade and give up their existing mortgage, which may be closer to 3%. I'm Rory O'Neill.
The well over month-long UAW strike rolling on as Ford Motor Company has announced more layoffs today. The automaker says another 150 workers have been temporarily laid off. There's reportedly been little progress in negotiations between the UAW and the big three automakers. It is 8:38. Our next news at 9, breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
News Radio Pensacola is your trusted source for hurricane coverage. If a hurricane approaches, News Radio Pensacola will provide you with the latest forecasts and warnings from the National Hurricane Center. If a hurricane approaches, News Radio Pensacola will help you find resources for disaster relief. If a hurricane approaches, News Radio Pensacola will interview experts on hurricane preparedness and safety.
No one covers the storms like News Radio 92.3.
Everybody jump! Jump!
I said a hip hop, the hip hip hop, you don't stop.
I will definitely call you back later, then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big circle.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Mr. Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap. It is our feature that we do at the end of the week on a Friday from 8:30 to 9. I try to find some people that I think are good on the radio, informed, entertaining, decent, and interesting is basically my criteria. And I have two of them here today who have never done this together, but we've had them both on previously. I have Lee Hansen, who was a short time as a school board member. She's a longtime educator. She was a wing commander in the Navy, a retired captain. Lee, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning
Thank
News.
Thank you so much.
And the other person that I have with her is somebody that, again, we've had him on many, many times before, but never together. Butch Hansen. Are you guys related?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Yep.
Butch was also a retired captain for the Navy. He was a sub-commander and a sub-forces commander, and he's been the Veterans Memorial Park Foundation president and former past president and a lot of other things, working on the new monument, the Chappie James Monument.
Yeah, Memorial,
it's going
right?
to be great. Butch, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News.
Thank you. Thank you.
So let's just start with it. Let's get some of the what are you doings out of the way. You just yesterday were out washing the F-4 Phantom.
We were. We can't wait to display the Phantom. It's going to be in the Chappie James Memorial, getting ready for the homecoming air show over there. And we had a bunch of, we had several second lieutenant Air Force students out there helping us. And
nice.
It was a great time.
Olive drab or camouflage? What's the paint scheme?
It's a Vietnam camouflage paint scheme. Yeah.
Okay, I thought that's what it was, but I couldn't remember for sure.
That's what the general flew in Vietnam.
And are we still trying to get that up and on and installed by next year, his birthday?
Well, yeah, we're working at it. We're working very closely. We're very optimistic with all the local leaders in the city and the county to get all the
funding
increase
everything right now. Yeah. Who's gonna? Yep, no, all of that. And by the way, I noticed your note to Candy earlier when Candy has left the show, but we love her. She's gonna be back to fill in and all that. Just some stuff to deal with at home on a regular basis in the morning. And you had said such a nice note that you appreciated how she routinely called 3 Mile Bridge the Chappie James Memorial Bridge as well.
Yeah, and we're trying to convert you too.
But I know. I'm not opposed. I just feel like it's not my battle to fight. If the community around me changes, and I know what you're thinking is, well, Andrew, you can lead that change. Alan Gray is always on me for the same thing. You know, I understand. Lee, what are you involved in these
well,
days?
Well, I tell you what, I'm a member of Impact 100.
Oh, yeah.
And this Sunday is our
small organization, does a little bit of charitable work.
Right. $1 Million Sunday. And we're really excited about being able to give back to the community. So
what phase is coming up on Sunday? Is it the final announcement?
It is the final.
Okay.
It is the annual meeting.
Oh, that's great.
And the
so Chappie
James Memorial is a finalist.
Is one of the finalists. Okay, so you're down to 15. You're going to pull to 10 or 11 this year?
Correct, 11.
Very good. Very good. Always wonderful stuff. Well,
right.
Part of the... So I had two things in mind having you guys in.
Okay.
One is I got this weird hairbrand idea, like it might be kind of cool to have a married couple who have a healthy marriage as commentators.
And so
since,
far, right?
And since, right, you're right, until this show, I mean, what can I do? But, you know, also as both retired captains who don't rank each other, you know, in retirement. And since we have such a high-profile military subject involving the Navy in the news this week, I thought, what better time to have you guys on to talk about this? So that's where I want to start is the events in Israel, the attack by Hamas, the attack, it's much lesser so, but still some involvement by Hezbollah. The question of Iranian involvement. And, of course, we now have not one but two carrier strike groups in the region. The brand new Ford on its first deployment. And the Eisenhower, I think,
yes,
is the other one. Mm-hmm. And just yesterday or the day before, it was announced that the command and control ship, the Mount Whitney, had been moved in with a 3-star, which I'd never heard of a command and control ship, so that alone was new to me. But I wanted to get your guys' perspective on this. Feel free to say anything you want. I don't even know what question to ask. I just want to hear what you have to say. Let's start with you, Lee.
Well, I'll start on a more personal note, and that is that we were in Israel just this past January.
Oh, wow.
And so we've seen these different locations, and we have a really good idea, although I really loved your geography lesson.
Oh, the hand?
With the hand.
Yeah.
but I think there are a lot of people who don't understand the little small stretch that is Gaza, and the fact that, I mean, they are firing indiscriminately at whatever, the Hamas. Mm-hmm. And I think when you look at the fact that instead of governing, their reason for living is killing other people. And so I'm not surprised that people are impoverished. I'm not surprised that people don't have a good life there.
Right.
So that would be the first thing I would say. And then I'll turn it over to Butch to talk about some of the naval forces.
Well, it's almost like going back to the Cold War days, back when I was driving submarines. We routinely had four or five submarines in the Mediterranean. We routinely had two carrier strike groups there, the Middle East. We would vector one of them over to the Gulf instead of the Med, so you had different perspective. But, you know, the two air wings that are on those carriers and all the support ships and whatever other submarines might be there, it's a formidable force with land strike capability and as well as intelligence capability that we can provide, the electronic warfare capability, et cetera, that we can provide the our allies, and the Israelis in this case. It's unfortunate. I say it's so disappointing to me, and having recently been to Israel and learning so much, not just about the Israel and the Jewish faith and the history, but also Christianity and also the Islamic faith there.
Yeah.
And looking at, and there walking the ground and seeing the geography, and I came back from that trip saying, why would Israel let Gaza exist like this, the way it is, this launching pad? So that's what you saw down there. And then up from the Golan Heights, where you can see Lebanon, you can see Syria, yeah. You relive the previous wars that are there.
Right.
And say, well, of course Israel will never give back the Golan Heights. And
it's strategically, it's inconceivable that they would.
Correct. Right.
And I don't think they never will. And but Gaza is such an interesting thing, you know, from the 67 war when Israel, you know, took over the whole Sinai Peninsula, and then in the peace agreement, they gave it back to Israel, but I mean to Egypt.
Back to Egypt, right.
But Egypt didn't want Gaza.
You're right.
Why would that be? No, that's, you know, you bought it, you broke it, you can
you
have
got it.
Yeah. And so Israel's been wrestling with that, and but as Lee said, you've got a group there that have revealed themselves for exactly what they believe in and what they will do, and I don't think anybody can support that.
And what you've seen in the West Bank over the years, a distant, not expert opinion on this, is that the West Bank has kind of made the decision that, oh, this isn't too bad. You know, they had a lot of issues. They built the wall, and that seems to have really solved a lot. And you have people, a government there that's really willing to govern, interested in governing and creating some level of prosperity.
Right.
You have not seen that in Gaza.
Correct.
You haven't seen
and
that same thing.
And if you think about it, they are, if you go to Israel and you see the coastline, and it's beautiful.
Oh, yeah,
Tel
amazing.
Aviv, Jaffa, it's beautiful. That same coastline exists down at Gaza. But they're not using it for that.
I mean,
they're just using it for a launching pad for incursions into Israel. It's sad.
We have Lee and Butch Hansen here in studio with me talking about issues of the week on the wrap. Let's get a quick traffic on the fives from Jake.
Looking good so far this morning. All the earlier accidents have been cleared out. And the only slowdown I see is West Burgess and Palafox in both directions in that area. And also we had that earlier roadblock at Marcus Point Boulevard and Enterprise Drive. If you have any traffic info to report, text 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Jake. You're talking about Lebanon in the north, and we saw the embassy protests earlier this weekend. I think a lessons learned reaction from the American forces and the embassy saying, no, we're not going to just endure this. We've seen what happens in the
right.
past. But, you know, coming up Monday is the 40th anniversary of the Marine Barracks bombing.
Right.
And we had back in April, you know, we had the embassy bombing anniversary. And, you know, this is Americans are sometimes pretty short memoried,
mm-hmm.
you know, I mean, to yeah. say the least. And folks in other parts of the world are not so short memoried. And what
right.
we particularly know is about people in the Middle East is, you know, 400 years ago is today, you know,
yes.
and so, you know, 40 years ago, we've been talking about these like heightened alerts and, you know, kind of general concern. I think that they are well aware that to them anyway, the 40th anniversary is a big day. And I'm more concerned about what might be coming on Monday than I had been about anything that we've seen so far.
You're exactly right. And, you know, Americans and even this administration, you mentioned special forces before and the things they do. We need to be more careful as the father of a former special forces.
Let's talk about
officer.
That a little bit. I saw this yesterday, and there was one. So if you don't know the story, the White House went, of course, President Biden went to Israel, and met there with some special operators, we think from Delta, and posted a great picture on Instagram of him meeting and greeting the guys in their gear, to which all of us thought, oh my God, what did you just do? These folks go out of their way to keep their identity secret for all the obvious reasons.
And I'm even surprised there were pictures taken.
Right.
Honestly.
Same. Because I look like when I, okay, when I go to the Blue Angels, all right, you know, the hangar, okay, mm-hmm. I always ask, is it okay to take a picture? And I get told, not today, or of this and not this, because there are things you don't take pictures of. Mm-hmm. And when I take pictures that involve anything military or personnel, I always double check. I'm like, hey, is this okay? You know, I got a picture of the front gate. Is that okay to post? Yeah, that one's fine. No, not that one. Because operational security and the mission matter before everything else. How on earth does this happen, that they put this out without obscuring, pixelation, yeah. and they put the picture at all?
I don't think that they are aware enough, the current administration, that they are aware enough of the importance of security. Mm-hmm. I mean, some of the interviews that the president has done clearly show, and he says, well, I don't want to get into anything classified, but blah, 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 blah,
right,
blah.
Right, like, but here's what I know.
Oh, yeah. My goodness.
And this goes back a ways. You know,
wasn't Biden the one who outed SEALs as having killed Osama bin Laden?
Yes.
I believe that was him
and
also.
And that's where I was going.
Okay.
I mean, I don't even think, I think we did damage to SEAL Team 6 and all of that. From all that publicity, we shouldn't have even acknowledged the
Correct.
SEALs did that, or we even did
Agreed.
That. I don't think. I mean, I come from a community. We were always chastised or for being called the silent service. It's because we never talked about what we did.
I'll be honest. When you were a few minutes ago, you were talking about, you know, a number of subs back in the day in the Med. There was a part of me that's like, can he say that?
Well,
you know,
I mean, that was
30 years
ago, right?
Right, but still, because operational security around everything in that vicinity is so careful, right?
Mm-hmm. So yeah, we need to be more careful about that. And these people are putting their lives on the line every day, and we don't know where they are. We shouldn't know where they are, but they're doing important things for the country, and it starts at the top, and it needs to be treated that way.
And you said your son used to be in
Yes, he was a Green Beret major,
and not exactly the kind of thing that a family of a special forces operator would be eager to see on Instagram or Twitter or around the world.
Right. I mean, he's still got plenty of friends. He's not there now. They basically burned him out. He did it for 10 years. He's a Russian speaker.
Wow.
So he was busy.
He doesn't.
Yeah.
He doesn't talk to me about the things he did.
I understand. So, I don't know. I watched recently. I haven't yet covered it on the air, but I probably maybe will next week. Back in March, and then they re-aired it just maybe a couple of weeks ago. 60 Minutes did a very long interview series with Sixth Fleet Commander, I forget who, Fifth Fleet, but with carrier group Nimitz, and talking about military readiness in China. And another sort of long thing that I'd investigated that I did just never managed to make the time to cut up and use on the radio, but I watched the naval budget hearing in the House this last year. You know, each service has their own day, and I watched that whole day. And I got to tell you, it concerns me, because China's passed us in total ship number. Now, maybe they're making, you know, a lot of not great ships, but, you know, as the commander in the interview said, sometimes number has a character all its own. And the number of ships that they are on track to build and their investment in shipbuilding capability and our failure to invest in shipbuilding capability, our days behind, our days out of service, our maintenance backlog, just like across the board.
And our emphasis in the last few years on things like who your pronoun, what you should be called, how many, it's so frustrating for those of us who served to see that, you know, they're putting aside maintenance, they're putting aside training so that all these other things can be done. It's ridiculous, and no one's got their eye on the ball that I see. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there are people out there that do. But it's very frustrating to see a lack of true focus on the mission.
And what I hear a lot from people is the byproduct of that is it cascades the wrong direction, because the people who were in 10 years ago don't want to be in anymore. Right. The people we would want to have in, because they'd be the perfect people to continue the legacy of greatness and strength that was the American military's hallmark, don't want to join under these circumstances. Correct. So you're losing out on both ends. And then the question is, well, who really is joining, and what kind of, you know, and I appreciate everybody who volunteers to be in the military, but this, the effect of the kind of the woke cultural stuff is, to my mind, devastating us, because, like you said, those are, nobody wants to be a part of that. And who's doing the stuff that needs to be done right. when they're focusing on that?
Well, and that's right. And you, the military training and methodology is tried and true, and it's about a unit. It's about teamwork. It's about a crew. You know, everybody on the submarine knows how everything about how that, because you don't know where you're going to be on the submarine when the casualty happens, and everybody, you need to be able to trust whoever's there to do the right thing.
Yeah.
You can't emphasize individuality and get the same product. I will say that, you know, numbers are one thing, and, you know, quantity is a quality all itself, is what we used to say. But, you know, back in the Cold War, the Soviets had three times as many submarines as we did. Mm. What was the difference? The difference was our readiness level, our maintenance level, our capacity to keep our ships operating and in good shape.
And training.
And our training. and we won. We drove them down. I'm concerned, like you, we're losing that edge, our maintenance capability, our shipbuilding capability. You know, we decided to try to right size our ships so sailors can't do the maintenance that's required. We have to call in a contractor when something breaks half the time. That isn't going to bode well in the long run. So we need to spend the money to properly train, man, and equip our ships.
And meanwhile, not to like pile despair on despair, but meanwhile, we're building, you know, half of our LCSs have hull issues. The other half have, you know, what, engine or transmission issues.
Yeah, I think those are going to be gone.
The whole
soon,
thing
right?
is being discontinued.
Yeah.
We built three Zumwalt class. That was a what in the world? You know, you look at some of the issues plaguing the F-35, not the Navy. Well, I mean, the Navy uses their just, you know, it's hard to keep a, like, stiff upper lip when you see a lot of this stuff happening.
Unfortunately, I've got more background on those particular failed programs than we can talk about over a beer sometime. But, yeah, those programs are political messes.
And I mean,
we've wasted billions of dollars.
And we've got the Ford deployed, but I mean, my God, the cost of putting that machine in the water, you know, it's
right.
amazing.
Right. So. And well, we need to right the ship.
And since we're in pylon territory, meanwhile, we don't have a budget, and the lack of a budget is costing the Navy, you know, $20 billion a year, and you can't plan effectively. And
we don't have a speaker.
Right?
And,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, I agree.
So we need to get back to the processes.
Yeah.
We need to get back to the processes that work and make our government work. And we've just sort of gone off the rails, it feels like.
We're talking very happy talk
yeah,
today
sorry.
With Butch and Lee Hansen, two retired captains of the Navy. We got Jake with Traffic on the Fives.
All right, we've just got two things we're still looking at this morning. We've got Marcus Point Boulevard and Enterprise Drive. There's a roadblock there. Also, West Burgess and Palafox is slow in both directions. This traffic report is brought to you by Anderson Subaru. Anderson Subaru needs your car, and they will pay more than ever before. Anderson Subaru, your adventure begins here. This is News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Jake. Somebody made the comment, a military texter made the comment that the picture with the special operators was taken to boost Biden's image as a wartime president, and they just didn't care or consider or whatever. You know, it's his theory. We do have a kind of a good note. I'll see if
Excellent.
We can end on that. It's the 50th anniversary of women in aviation, naval aviation,
naval
right?
Naval aviation, it sure is. And we started the celebration in March out at El Centro with the first Blue Angel Air Show of the season. And we're going to
wrap
it up.
And the first female jet pilot for the
Correct.
Blues.
Correct. And we're going to wrap it up in a couple of weeks at the Blue Angel Air Show here, homecoming.
That's fantastic. And just in case people don't know, you were the first female wing commander in the Navy.
Correct.
Right? And one of the first round of female pilots back in the day.
I was actually not. I was sort of like 2.0.
Oh, okay. Yeah, all right. Early, I'll say that. Not first, but early. Yeah, fair enough. Well, Butch and Lee Hansen, again, a pleasure to have you all. You both are some of my favorite people. And thank you for the information. I wish you weren't able to confirm all of my my nightmares and fears, but, you know, there it is. Have a great weekend. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Right. Our pleasure.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.